You're listening to the Clean Comedy Podcast with James Creviston and Luke LaCoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Clean Comedy Podcast. My name is James, and I'm here again today with my co-host, Mr. Luke LaCoy.
Hi.
Hi. So today, you've heard that quote, Luke, those who can't teach.
Yep.
Have you heard that before?
All the time.
It's like pretty common, right? Yeah. And in the comedy world, anyone who, like, there's always like this fight over like a comedy class is taught by people who've never made it, or stand-up can't be taught, or funny can't be taught, or writing jokes can't be taught, or whatever. All that stuff, there will always be people who are detractors and say you can't do it. Now, there are plenty of comedians who've taken comedy classes and turned up to be great comedians. Mm-hmm. I know Anthony Jeselnik took Greg Dean's class. Mm-hmm. He's talked about it, and it helped him figure out how to write jokes. He was already naturally funny, but you need to learn how to format stuff, right? For anyone who's going to get mad right away, go ahead, get mad. You can write stuff in the comments. I 100% stand behind that comedy classes can help somebody, okay? Now, it cannot help somebody who has no sense of humor. You have to have a sense of humor. You have to be able to take instruction. You have to be able to laugh at yourself. You have to be willing to fail. If you can't do any of those things, a comedy class will never help you at all, okay? Now, in my comedy career, or my life, I guess, I have taken 7 comedy classes. Mm. My most recent one was with Robert G. Lee. I took his class. I took one with Paul Moomjean. I took one with Steve North, who now teaches at Flappers, but he didn't used to. I've taken one from a guy named Steve Roy, who has like the killer stand-up course online. I've read all of Greg Dean's books. I've done Pauly Shore's sister before she passed away, rest her soul. She had a book. I did that. Judy Carter, I'm going to actually take her course soon. And I probably will end up taking, I've taken a bunch of different classes. I can't even remember some of them, but I've done all kinds of workshops and stand-up classes and whatever. And because, wow. I'm sorry, Jerry Corley. I forgot. I've taken a ton of Jerry Corley classes. I apologize, Jerry Corley. You are amazing. So I have done a ton of comedy classes, and I've learned something from every single one of them. And every time I learn something, I write it down. And so I had a big sheet of it. Now, about maybe a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, it was before COVID. I think it was the year before COVID. I had the opportunity to go teach stand-up to teens at the Teen Center. And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. And we did a show there. You, me, and David did a show at that Teen Center. It was really fun. Do you remember that?
I think that was, I wasn't there on that one. It was,
No, it was you. Weren't you there?
I was not there. It was the guy Jason. I think Jason was with you guys.
Jason Love. Jason Brown.
Yes.
Did Jason Brown go to that? Really?
No. Yeah, because I heard David sent me the recording from that show. It was so funny.
Yeah, it was a wild show. It was really fun. It was unique. It was definitely a unique experience, something I've never experienced before. It was super fun, though. I think we had a ton of fun still. Like, it was still – but I don't think those kids were expecting stand-up, so they were not prepared, and it was just a weird situation because it was, like, in the middle of, their dance party thing or something. It's so random. It was funny, though. We had fun. They had fun. They love David. I mean, who doesn't love David? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they love David. So we did that. But then, because I had approached them about doing that, and then afterwards, the director said, hey, the kids love that. It was fun. Would you want to teach stand-up? Like, would that be something you could do? And I was like, oh, yeah, that's totally possible. I've read every stand-up book there is. I've done stand-up. I've went to a million stand-up classes. I've condensed all that into a notepad or a I think it's like a 50-page PDF that I put together to teach that class. And, so I did it 1 year. It went really well. Kids were happy. They gave good feedback. Their parents liked it. And then they, I was supposed to do it last year, but you know, COVID. So that happened and they canceled my classes. And then this year I just did my first class for the year. This was the summer version because it's the first time you can do it. And I had four kids and they were awesome. And then we did a show at the end of class and their parents came. Every kid, this was great. Every kid's parents came and they all loved it. And the parents were like, this is awesome. And like, two different groups of parents are like, is there a second class? Like, how do we do this again? And I was like, all right, well, that's good when the parents were happy for that. But I also told the parents, I said, listen, this is important, not because stand-up is not to teach your kids to be funny, which they already are naturally funny, and teach them to write a joke, but teach them confidence in front of other people. That's the big thing that I wanted to get out of it, and I wanted them to get out of it. And I could see the difference from class one to when I made them stand up in front of the mic and tell everyone about themselves, to the last class, which was the performance, where they performed in front of their family and friends and the other students. And it was night and day. Like, and it's only a 7 week, no, 7 or 8 week class. It's not very long. So that's not a lot of time. And they're only coming one day a week, right? And we're there for an hour and a half. So it's not a lot of time, but we open up every class the same way. We did an open mic. So at the beginning of every class, I get up, like I'm the open mic host. I introduce, you know, I let them pick who goes first. We do the order. I let them do their thing. They do their jokes. Then we give everyone in the class goes around and gives feedback, positive feedback. Then the next, then I go up and introduce the next person. We do the same thing. So that's the first, like usually half hour of class is that. Then we work on one more joke or whatever it is. Maybe they're having problem focusing while they're holding the mic. Maybe they forgot to move the mic stand. Maybe they're getting nervous. Maybe they're skipping the punchline, whatever it is, we work on whatever it is for each student. Cause I'll take notes. Like they did this thing and they did this thing and then we'll fix that. So that'll be another like half hour of the class. And the last half hour of class is usually joke writing, watching some stand up and going over what breaking down jokes and bits or talking about jokes, bits, sets, like proper stage presence, all that kind of stuff or whatever. So have you ever taken a stand-up class?
Yeah, it was pretty similar to what you're describing, except it was adult, like it was at one of the continuing like ed schools in Pasadena.
Really?
And yeah, that was the first class that I ever took.
That's cool. Continuing education class would be awesome.
Yeah I mean I loved getting the booklet with like all the different things you can go learn, and you know, it's fun.
I love that kind of stuff. So how was it, like how many weeks was the class and how often did you meet and stuff like that?
I think it was similar, like 7 or 8 weeks, once a week. Our location got moved because we're being too, you know, so loud in the, because we're in like actual classrooms at Pasadena City College, and you know, like next door they're learning Spanish, and then we have like a microphone set up and you know, everyone's laughing and losing their mind next door. But yeah, same thing, like and this is, again, this is people, the whole, it's people who've never done stand-up before who are interested in it. I took it because initially I wanted just to be better at speech. I had never taken a speech class before. So that was my initial, you know, thought process for it. But yeah, same thing. We'd get there, like have an open mic type thing. Then we'd go over feedback, kind of how jokes work, how to write or think of new material to write about yourself. And then teacher would give notes and stuff. But it was interesting. We had our like graduation show at the Ice House, which was a lot of fun. For your teen center, is there like a stage or something that you were able to use for their show?
We had, there's another room. So the room that we teach in is really small, but there's another room that they use for like dance and theater and stuff. So we use that room because it has lights behind them that we turned on and whatever. So it worked that way. It didn't have a stage, but they didn't need it, like honestly. Yeah. So it was perfectly fine. But yeah, it was great. I wish we could take them somewhere and have them do a show somewhere, but one, they're teenagers, so
yeah,
most places are not going to let them in, so we couldn't do that. But we also wanted to make an environment that wasn't outside of where they were already at normally, so
right,
it was fine. And they did a great job, you know, their family loved it. One kid roasted his dad. It was awesome. Actually, it was so good to watch. His dad was dying laughing, like it was amazing. So it was so good. And they're smart kids. Like two of the kids that I had were brothers. They're brothers. And so, but they had kind of two different comedy styles, but at the same time, they also liked like a lot of Monty Python and like old comedy like that. And one of the older brother was just a great, like an amazing joke writer. Like he literally wrote a joke that I was like, look, I will buy that joke from you. That's how funny this joke is. I know I could turn it into a huge bit and it would be awesome. I should actually email him and offer him money. So it was a great, I'm not kidding you. I literally love the joke so much that when he, because we came up with an idea together, right? Mm-hmm. He wrote out a long thing and then I gave him a couple tags for it. But by the time he was done with it, it was phenomenal. And I was like, dude, I love this joke. I was like, look, if you ever want to sell that joke, like you're not going to do that joke, you don't care, you want to sell it, I'll buy that joke from you because it's legitimately so good. And it covers a topic that would, that is known by everybody. So it's not like a, like something that's obscure. It's such a common thing that I can't believe I'd never thought of this idea before. Hmm. So I would love to, yeah, I would, I should, I actually, I will email after this and be like, hey, can I Venmo you $20? You know, cause it was that, I mean, it was that good of a joke. I thought it was, you know, worth it. And I don't care if I buy a joke. I've had people buy jokes off of me before. I don't care. Like, you know, that's just how it, sometimes a joke isn't good for you or a joke is not what your voice is going to be anyways, or somebody, it fits somebody's set or whatever better. So you can sell them a joke. I've given people jokes too. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, whatever, but that's what it is. One kid was really good at writing puns. He was like a pun writer joke. So like a Jason Brown kind of guy and really good. And then one kid, he really leaned into like a roast there. He's the one that roasted his dad. It was so good. But he was like, he would talk about family stuff. And then like the end of the punchline would always be roasting somebody in his family. It was super well done. So everyone had their own style. It was really good. And they were all funny and they were all excited and very happy. And they were like this. And I, like I said, I could see the change from when they started to when they ended, and their parents could too. I have multiple parents say they're so much happier. This like really brought them out of their shell. They're now funnier around the house. Like it's what I was like, look, this is the thing you should encourage. Like encourage it. I encourage kids to be funny because it will help you in life. One, in public speaking. Two, in dealing with stressful situations, right? I've had people flip out for stuff. Like just like the whole world is melting down around them. And you just say one funny thing and it really like de-escalates. Now, some people get madder if you say something funny in a like high pressure situation, but mm-hmm. I've always been the person that when I get stressed out, my natural reaction is to say something silly, funny, stupid, whatever you want to call it, to kind of diffuse that situation. I've done it in fights. Like I'm not a big guy, but I'm not like a small guy. So in situations where it's confrontational, I've said funny stuff because like, what's going to happen now? Right. I say something funny. If I make you laugh, you're not going to want to fight anymore. That's not how that works. You know? So, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, I want to punch you in the face. And you're like, well, I punched my own face. You see what happened last time, you know? And they're like, all right, I'm not, you know, like, it's like, okay, whatever. So, it's great. And I'm supposed to start a new class in September. So I have a new class starting in September and it's fun. So
for our class, we, you know, since it was an adult class, we could touch on like, you know, any adult content. The one rule was like, you know, respect each other, obviously. Right. Do you have to like set kind of guidelines on, content?
Yeah, I do tell them, let's keep it clean. Let's not throw in any curse words. We can be a little risque with what, like one kid had a joke about nerds and dorks. Mm-hmm. And, I guess a dork is a Wales area.
Oh,
I didn't know that. So he had a joke about dorks and that, but he called it to be funny and get around that. He called it, a Wales naughty bits. So that was hilarious. Right. Cause it's like not common. So I was like, this is genius. So yeah, so they skirted that line. It was all clean, no mm-hmm. cursing, whatever. And I told them, I was like, look, we don't do these kind of jokes. And we try to keep it because you're teenagers and you're going to perform this in front of your family. Yeah. You don't want to drop the F bomb. You don't want to whatever, you know? So I was like, this is the rules for this because of the situation that we're in now. Right. When you're 18, whatever, do whatever you want. I don't care, but this is the good start here. So, mm-hmm. and then also, one class before, one class I taught them, when you go on stage, this is what you should never wear. Like, don't wear shorts on stage. Don't wear flip-flops. Try not to wear a shirt that has anything on it that people are trying to read, that kind of stuff. So the next class, I came in with a shirt that had stuff all over it, shorts. I did not wear flip-flops. And shorts. And I stood up and I did the thing. And one kid right away goes, why are you wearing shorts? I was like, all right, good. All right, you're there. That's half of this. And I said, okay, what else is the other thing that I'm doing wrong? Oh, and I also, that for that class, I didn't move the mic stand out of my way when I took the mic out. So I did a bunch of things that I had taught them was wrong. Mm-hmm. And they got them all right. They were like, you did this and this and this and this. And this. I was like, yeah, you guys, great job. You know, so that's part of it too, is they have to learn stage presence and what to do on stage and how to act and how to behave and what to wear. And it was great.
Cool.
So I don't know. I feel like some people might be like, oh, you're selling out by teaching. It's because you suck at comedy. It's like, okay, you can believe that all you want. I know that's not the case. I make money at comedy. I am not sucking at it. And I would be way ahead, further ahead in my comedy career had COVID not happened. This year would have been a whole different year for me. Like, you and me and David would probably all be on tour right now. But COVID happened, and that's not happening. Because we have interested people that want us to come out and do stuff. We would have done stuff with David's Ark. We would have done stuff with a bunch of other things. And it just didn't happen this year. So I turned time I had into other things to make other things happen. And also, this gives me a chance to help kids, man, because kids are already awkward. Like, I remember being a 12 to 13 to 14 to 15 year old boy and being like, I don't know what to say to people, and it's weird. And when I do say stuff, people either laugh or look at me like I'm crazy. So, you know, whatever. And I'm not a handsome guy. You know, I'm not ugly, but I'm not no Brad Pitt. I wasn't Brad Pitt in high school, you know, so, or in real life. I know what that's like. And if I could help a kid have a little bit more confidence because he's able to be funny in situations or think of funny stuff or connect with people through humor, dude, that's a win for me.
Yeah. And the other thing too, like, you and I have read so many like books on comedy and we've talked to so many comedians and, like, you know, it's almost like we kind of have a little bit more knowledge in it, and it is fun to share it and not just, you know, keep it for ourselves. And, you know, like Jared Volley's books, I love those things.
Yeah.
He's all about the creativity and the process of it. And, you know, finding creative ways to use it.
I know what we should do is we should get with him and do a whole stand-up course, like his creative portion. And then I think like David presenting on how to like stage presence, because he's so good at that. Mm-hmm. And then you could do something like about like writing specific stuff. And then I could do like joke structure or bit building or whatever. And then Jared could talk about the creative process of getting your mind there and whatever, because he's so good at that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he helps you do it. And that would just be a great course, because it would put all those pieces together where somebody could constantly come back and be creative and learn something new. It'd be like the master class of comedy. I mean, I want to do that too. I actually wanted to do a thing where I would interview a bunch of comedians, ask them the same like 10 questions, take those, and then put it together in a course based on those things. And you get the stuff from all those comedians where they would answer those questions. We put it into a course for, you know, getting better at stand-up. Maybe not a starting stand-up, but how do you continually progress in stand-up type thing. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that'd be cool.
It would be cool. I don't know if they'd let me do it, but I mean, I'd gladly pay for their time to do that if they let me do it. And then, you know, 1% of sales or something. I don't know what it was, like, whatever, we'd have to figure it out. But yeah, something like that. I think it'd be beneficial because we have talked to so many people that it would be such a beneficial thing for everybody. And that's what the podcast is for, right? Is so people can hear that stuff. We're not hoarding the information ourselves. We're sharing it freely with the world. So
I would love to see like part of the course, like you strap a GoPro on and then bomb in a club intentionally.
There's like, somebody who did that on like Reddit or YouTube or something. Yeah. I think it was like Reddit or YouTube or something. I saw a video where somebody did that, where they like had a GoPro and they like did the crowd, and you could see the crowd's reaction to their like bad jokes and stuff or whatever.
I need to look for that.
Yeah. I don't remember. It was like a year or two ago. Uh-huh. But yeah, it was crazy. I was like, wow. Also, it would be funny to like see. I think that's the other thing, is that might be a cool thing if the live show app guys are listening, like do someplace where you could like a VR club where you can see the people or whatever, and that you're watching that. That might be better. I know somebody was trying to do that at some point. So
that's cool. Yeah. A virtual comedy club.
Virtual comedy club. It'd be great if like everybody could link up, right? So you're in the audience, you're watching the comedian is watching you from their point of view. And then you do, you know, people go up and do stand up. It would be great. You could do it from your house. You wouldn't have to worry about it. I mean, I think it'd be awesome.
That'd be fun.
That's the next generation of comedy, I think. Well, you could sit there and everybody's enjoying the same experience, but from different places around the world, and you would still get the feedback, right? Like, that's the thing I don't think they have yet is like those VR things. I don't think you can hear somebody talking back to you. So you couldn't hear people laughing.
I think you can. It's just you hear all of their, like, it's like Zoom. You hear anything else going on in the room as well, which can be distracting.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense. So.
I mean, but then again, like I haven't played with any of the newer VR stuff, so there could be like noise canceling on them. So if you know, let us know, because I don't have a VR set.
Yeah, me neither
at this moment.
So. I'm Poe.
Broke boys here.
Broke. Right now I am. I'm not that broke. I'm trying to save up for a Tesla. I'm not gonna lie. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. I want a Tesla so bad. It's like it's like my one thing. I know, like if I got like a TV show or a big deal tomorrow, like say tomorrow I got a big deal for whatever, the first thing I would buy would be a Tesla. I'm not kidding you. I would literally buy a Tesla. Like same day I got that check, buy a Tesla. Actually, I think you only have to put like $100 down. So just put $100 down, order my Tesla, and then I would, when I get the check, I'd pay that bad boy off. So
cool.
There you go. Now you know how I want to roll, guys. Actually, the thing is, I think I did this, talked about this in another episode. I drove one around Texas for a week and it was a Model Y and it was like the best drive ever. And then we're going to rent one. My wife and I are going to go to vacation more in SoCal down, and we're going to rent a Model 3 to drive there and back and whatever and stuff. So that way I can kind of decide like which one do I want more? Like do I want the Model 3, which is like a smaller sedan, or do I want the Model Y, which is more of like an SUV type situation? So I'll probably end up with a Model Y, to be honest with you, because I like the room and it had, especially we could go, like when we do David's Ark, we could go in that and put everything. There's so much room in there. We can put everybody's stuff in there and not worry about it. So we'll get it. So, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Luke, where can people find you?
Luke LaCoy on the web.
On the web. You can find me, jamesecrepson.com, comedypreneur.com. Please like, subscribe. Please share this with friends and, have a great week. Get out there, do stand up. Don't let anything stop you. Go learn some more. I'll put some links to books that I love that are about stand up in the show notes. And you can use our Amazon link to buy them and make some money to support the show. So thank you again so much for listening. Have a great week and bye.